Today's reading is taken from 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 7 to 18, on page 1160. The Greater Glory of the New Covenant. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which is engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ it is taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, we thank you that we can gather here today. And I thank you for this message that I've been given to share, and that it may touch each one of us where we are in our lives, particularly where we need to hear from you afresh. I just lift this time into your hands now, for your Spirit, and we join you as Spirit in walking with you, Lord, boldly, but also in love. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Right. So a few of you may be aware that about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was away in Zimbabwe. I'd gone for a wedding. One of my cousins, who's been here before when I had my baptism, was getting married. And in preparation for this teaching, sort of struck me when I remembered when he unveiled his bride's face, how very much when I was reading through this passage, there is resonance in terms of at the moment when, up until the whole ceremony, he couldn't see his bride's face, although he could see she's there, but in terms of her face was hidden from him. But when it came to the time of the priest saying, you can now unveil your bride and you can kiss her, only then were they able to look at each other face to face. So it struck me that there is very much a resonance for us in this teaching with that picture of a bride being unveiled to the groom. But also in that marriage ceremony, there's also something about a covenant. And this passage is very much about the covenant, the old covenant, but also the new covenant. So I'll start with a bit of background. I think it's always worth remembering that when Paul is writing in all his letters, it's always in response to some pastoral challenge that has emerged in one of the church communities that he set up. So in this context, he's writing to the Corinthians, but this is his second letter. And in the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul had been rejected by the Corinthians, who felt that as a leader, he just didn't cut it. He was not impressive enough compared to other leaders yet. Other people or other leaders in Corinth. So people always expect you to have stature, which Paul apparently didn't have. And so the Corinthians then rejected him. So in the teaching last week, which was in verse 3, which Tim was leading on, we hear Paul's opening note in there is about the fact that the Corinthians were asking him to bring letters of recommendation. And he's saying, I do not have to provide a letter of recommendation because you, the Corinthian church, yourselves are my letter of recommendation. But also in those verses within verse 3, particularly verse 6, Paul touches on this on the New Covenant. So this concept of the New Covenant, and he says he is a minister of the New Covenant. And so this passage, Corinthians 3, verse 7 to 18, which Rachel has read through, is very much about unpacking more that story of the New Covenant, where Paul is really the key theme unpacking and contrasting life under the New Covenant and life under the Old Covenant. And I think if you look at Paul's life himself, he's actually symbolic of that transition from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, because Paul was a Pharisee, very much steeped in Jewish law and Jewish culture. And then he has an encounter with Jesus, as we know, at Damascus, on the road to Damascus. And that changes his life completely. And now he's essentially the one who's going out with the word, declaring that the Messiah has come, and there's this new covenant, and he's bringing this new apostolic ministry to both Jews, firstly, and then also to the Gentile world. So I think always just, for me, certainly worth remembering, when we think of Paul, he was very much a Jewish man whose life has been transformed, and he has accepted Jesus as a Messiah, and is now spreading this new gospel. So I think just worth holding that in our minds as well. And before I sort of go into the teaching, I felt it might be helpful to unpack a little more about this Old Covenant, particularly around the unveiling of the faith, because this goes back to Exodus. So after the Israelites had left Egypt, they were wandering around the desert of Mount Sinai, and then they got to Mount Sinai, where God then gave them the law or the commandments. And when the Lord's presence was on Mount Sinai, it was an amazing and glorious experience, as anyone can imagine, because even then, when he said to Moses, I'm going to come down to Mount Sinai, he had the instructions that everyone had to be pure and consecrated because the Lord's presence was going to be coming down. And under the law, Moses was the intermediary between the Israelites and God. And we know that when God first came onto Mount Sinai, he spoke to the Israelites directly. But then they were afraid, and they say to Moses, no, you speak to us and go to us and speak to God on our behalf, and we'll listen to you, but we'll keep at a distance. So this is how Moses becomes the intermediary between the Israelites and God. And if I read in Exodus 34, verse 29 to 35, this is where there's a bit more context around the unveiling and the veiling of Moses' face after he comes down from meeting with God and being given the law. So starting from verse 29, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face, but whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went to speak with the Lord. So this is the history or the context to the passage where it's speaking about the unveiling of Moses' face when he's been given the Ten Commandments, and the Israelites have said, we will not speak to God directly, we will let someone else be an intermediary for us. And although we know that Moses was given the Ten Commandments, when you actually look through the Torah, it was not just the Ten Commandments that the Jewish people follow. It's actually about 613 commandments that they follow, which is, some of them are positive. This is how you should conduct yourselves. And some are negative. If you do this, this is what's going to happen to you. So it's a very much regimented way of life, that of a law that governs how you live your life. Regulating their relationship with God via law and not through relationship. And so you can imagine to the Jewish listener who is listening to this, to Corinthians, the passage that Rachel has had, how much this would have been transformational, radical, to say that old covenant way, the way of following the law and abiding by the law and ordering yourself according to the Mosaic law is now past. There's not something even much, much more glorious that has come, and which is life under the Spirit through the new, in the new covenant. And as, I mean, coming back to Paul's background, as I mentioned, he speaks to a Jewish audience, but he's also, as we know, has an apostolic mission to reach out to the Gentiles. But certainly I feel in this particular passage where he's very much talking about the law, it's almost addressing very much a Jewish audience, because this is not someone that a Gentile or a Greek would be familiar with, because they would not have lived their life in this way. And so it's a very radical message. Walk away from the way you have, that is the way that has regulated your relationship with God, and welcome this new way of living, a new covenant, knowing that Jews don't believe that the Messiah has come as well. They still think the Messiah is still to come. And so for a Jewish listener, I think just also worth holding in our heads how this is a very much a challenging and radical idea to say there's a new covenant, the Messiah has come. Accept the Messiah and life under the Spirit in this new covenant. And we also see the veil somewhere else in the New Testament when we look at the crucifixion of Jesus. Particularly if you read in Matthew 27, when after Jesus had been crucified, the temple curtain was torn in two, and that was symbolic of the separation between the temple, within the main temple, and the Holy of Holies, where Jesus' presence was, where God's presence was said to reside. So even in the New Testament, and very much at the core of the teaching, is this separation between us and God, and he has made himself available and accessible to us in the separation of the veil, and we can now approach him with confidence and boldly. And just reading, if we look in, back in the passage, so we look in verse 12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So for me, there's something about what says in verse 12 about the boldness with which we can now approach God, which the Israelites, as we look, if we look back at the section I read in Exodus, did not have that boldness. But we now, as a new covenant people, have the boldness to approach God's throne, and he welcomes us. And in Jesus, he has actually made himself available and accessible to us. So no longer is he somewhere high above, far from reach for man, but he wants and desires a relationship with us. And so where the old covenant was written on stone tablets, and where Jews still follow the Torah, under the new covenant, and I suppose where Moses was also the intermediary, under the new covenant, we have Jesus as our intermediary and the Holy Spirit. And so it might seem that the relevance to us is very minimal, because, as I said, if we go back to the context, this is very much written for Jews, and they lived under Mosaic law. And so it might seem like there is no relevance to us. But there's very much also in our lives, we're also prone perhaps to live by the law, where we're coming to God thinking that through works will we be accepted. But what the new covenant, under the new covenant, it is not by our works that we are justified. It is not by our works that God receives us, but by faith. And that's the core, very much, I think, of Paul's message as well, that we do not have to earn our way into God's kingdom. We do not have to earn our way into God's love, because it's been given to us freely, and he has made us righteous before him through Jesus Christ, who has come and died for us. And so it's very much about our personal relationship with God, which is in the tearing of that veil in the temple, is an invitation to us for very much a personal relationship. And if I think in my own life, how there's always so much more, I believe, in what God is desiring for our lives. And we just sang in one of the songs, I think the last song, we are here to be transformed and we're here to be changed. And always the desire and the hope for my heart, certainly in my faith journey, is that God continually to be disturbing me, where perhaps I might be falling into my comfort zone and thinking, yes, I've got this. But always be reminded that God always desires more in our lives. And so the relevance to us, if we go back to my analogy of the bride, my cousin's new wife, we may also be in a place where we need God, where we need Jesus and the Holy Spirit to be unveiling our faces. And I don't think it's a one-off event that happens when we've been saved, when we've been baptized. It's a daily experience, a daily living out of our faith, where we're just coming before God and saying, and before Jesus, and saying, unveil my face. Let me see you face to face. And it's about being known by God as well, because I know we talk a lot about knowing God, but I think the more challenging aspect of our faith is, are we going to let ourselves be known by God in the personal way that he really desires to know us? Because he came as Jesus, and in this new covenant, where there's Jesus and the Holy Spirit, what he's desiring with us above anything else, I believe, is relationship. And the old covenant failed to transform the Israelites' life. They were not transformed. Yes, they followed the law, but in terms of actual transformation of their lives, what's striking is that there wasn't there wasn't the inner transformation of the being, because you're just following laws. And what you're afraid of is judgment and condemnation, because if you break the law, what usually you follow is the judgment that follows that. And so there was very much, I will do tick, almost like a tick box exercise, but in terms of the actual transformation of my life, what we certainly know of the Israelites is that probably didn't happen. But in this passage, the call is that when we are under the new covenant, when we are living under the life that is led by the Holy Spirit, it's also about our transformation. And in the course that I do as part of the Diocese of London, I found it quite striking when they put it in the context of our lives are about transformation. And sometimes the risk is that we go along the word of confirmation and following the ways of the world, or being very happy with the status quo. And at worst, perhaps deformation, where we do not live out and become the people that God called us to be and created us to be. So for me, that I always find those words striking, because I think when I hear the word transformation, yes, I can understand what that means. But when it's put next to the word confirmation to the world, and then deformation as even the worst, you just find it quite striking how much of a more life-giving experience transformation of our lives is. And so the closing of this passage, which really sets out the freedom in which we've been born into and the transformation of our lives that God is calling us to, is for me the deeper message and the challenge for all of us in our faith journeys. Are we being transformed? Am I being transformed? Now, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. In writing this message, Paul is not saying that the law was bad, because in some way it did order the Israelites' lives in a proper way in guiding their relationship with God. But really the core of this message is that there's something better that has come. There's something that's more glorious that has come. And this is what he's essentially espousing the Jewish community that he's speaking to in Corinth, to accept in their hearts, to move away from this old covenant and welcome this much more new and much more glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why I found it quite touching, the song we sang at the end, that Spirit of God, have your way in us. And that's the prayer that for me, certainly when I was reflecting in this, for this sermon, was that all of us here, we've accepted Christ, But I hope deep in my heart that we always keep the hunger for more of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what he wants, for deeper relationship with us and for personal relationship with us. And so in closing and our prayer reflection at the end, my prayer would be that we would truly know the freedom of the new covenant, that it's not about condemnation and judgment, but blessing from the Father. My prayer is that we'd know that it's our lives are being called to transformation, not confirmation and not deformation. But above all, that we would always remember that we have unveiled faces and we can look upon God face to face. And I think above all that he does desire a relationship with us, a personal relationship with us. And so I just put on this reflection, which we'll play shortly. And it might be that there's particular aspects of what I've shared that speak to you. But if not, then I think this reflection in a way kind of, I feel, captures and reflects what for me is God's desire for our lives. And that is freedom, freedom to the fullest, and freedom to be who he has made us to be and reflect the glory in us of him. So I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that as we leave this place, we would know the freedom that we've been born into. We would know the love of God for us, each one of us, personally, individually, the blessing that he has and desires upon our lives, and that under the new covenant that he writes upon our spirits and our hearts, his love, his new law, and his new commandments, that we would behold him face to face and know him. In the name of Christ I pray. Amen.